Hello, hello, and welcome to the 29th Metroplexity podcast and the first of the year 2013, which is still sounding like the future, actually, as it turns out. I've been thinking about that a little. I'm not sure if there's a year from now until the end of time that does not sound like the future to me. Which makes you wonder, you know, like, does that happen all the time, or is it just because the future was 2000 for so long that it built up a sort of inertia? Who knows? Not this guy. We have some interesting developments in Kinectopia, or Landonia, if you prefer. The end of 2012 was sort of like the rest of 2012 in that had a pretty interesting year, and by interesting I mean incredibly rough. If you're listening to this, you probably saw the thread at some point about my father-in-law dying, me being out in Peoria for quite a while, lost a very young nephew shortly thereafter, sort of put a crimp in the whole, you know, he lived a long and happy life sort of thing. Kick in the junk, really. But a lot of workplace anxiety and et cetera, the usual, first world problems, other than that. But, my day job at, totally not Midgard, gave me a very special Christmas present. They decided to give me 40 extra free hours a week. So we should all be very thankful for that. And hope that they don't bite my claim for unemployment insurance, because that actually looks pretty likely. Is the 2012 part of that. The 2013 part of that is that we, and by we I mean my spouse and I, have done some math, and she has convinced me, really, that we can probably make ends meet with me doing Metroplexity and Twilight Heroes full time, which is sort of wow. So, if 2013 is going to be a better year than 2012, and I certainly as fuck hope it will, part of that will be that 2012 was sort of ended with a kick in the pants to get things moving in the right direction. Obviously, this is dangerous ground, and ground that probably involves shopping at Aldi a lot. Nothing against Aldi, just, you know, it's cheaper than our normal options. So that'll be interesting, and I will try to keep everyone posted. I'm not sure if I will even be that much more productive. We will see. And I'm not sure if that'll work out financially. We'll also see there. If either of those turns out to be a no, obviously I'll have to scrounge up some sort of day job. But it's looking like right now I may not have to, which is pretty scary and pretty awesome. So we'll see how that goes. But I've got a lot of questions left, and maybe 2 hours before my wife gets home from her rehearsal to answer them. By the way, if anyone is in Columbus, early interval, 12th night, come. If none of you have heard me talking about this before, my wife does early music, like really early music, like Baroque is, you know, still years in the future. I guess that's not totally true. Some of the stuff they do is Baroque, but definitely, like, before what we consider classical. Really cool. They do a 12th Night concert every year because nobody celebrates 12th Night anymore, so all of the 12th Night music is early music, or at least, you know, I'm exaggerating, but whatever. And she's playing, like, a gazillion instruments, which is not exaggerating. She has, like, two viola da gambas and, like, two or three crumb horns and a bunch of recorders and a dulcian and nakers, which is a type of drum. And if you don't know what any of those are, you should either Google them or ask me at some point. But it's pretty cool. Anyway, on to the questions. We've got a whole block from Penguin Pyro. If we make silver bullets and bone bullets, why not gold bullets? Actually, that has a lot to do with the amounts that you're working with. I mean, not that gold bullets would do anything particularly useful other than, if I recall my Ravenloft correctly, kill were-badgers. But the gold you're dealing with is actually a very small amount. It's just like gold leaf, basically. So there might be enough to make, like, a small bullet. And that's not really enough to worry about. I mean, you could make, like, gilt leaf bullets, but I'm not foreseeing that being terribly useful. How does one exactly make nitric fuming acid out of hydrochloric powerful acid? Is the back guano special in some way, or is it just a gameplay abstraction? No, pretty sure you add nitrogen to hydrochloric acid to do that. Let's see. Making nitric acid. The complete guide. Don't ever do this. Yeah, it looks like you want... Yeah, no, that's, I mean, like, obviously, like, that's not exactly how you make it, but that's roughly the sort of chemical composition you want to use. I mean, you're just using nitrogen and hydrochloric acid and copper, but the copper is just a catalyst, as I recall. I don't know what else would be in that. How does the player character manage to bite drones and armored men to death comfortably? I'd imagine it'd hurt us almost as much as them, even if we do regenerate, especially if we're punching us in the face at the very same time. I think that is a question which is also probably asked in character. And that is kind of creepy, and kind of intended to be creepy. If Officer Stone can buy Midgard drones, could we in later expansions? If there is a point where the pet system has expanded to the point where you actually have to, like, combat associates that are following you around, I could just have them, like, shoot at the end of every round or whatever. Possibly. They're pretty fucking expensive, though, for what you'd actually get out of them. At this point, it would be a lot of coding for a hilariously ineffectual money sink. You're unlikely to get separate targets following you around. You're more likely to get, like, patrollers to help in PvP and things like that. How bad exactly is Southside Fried Chicken? Chris Batwing is said to be better than it, but it's still very lacking. Well, let's just say there aren't really any restaurants anymore in Southside. There's really just Mikhail, who does not, as you've noticed, make fried chicken. So the remaining examples of Southside Fried Chicken are either from before those restaurants closed, or made by hobos. And I personally have never had hobo fried chicken, but I'm willing to bet it's pretty bad. Although, I did read a really interesting recipe for nettle soup, I guess it's stew, technically, at one point. Apparently, if you boil them long enough, it just turns into, like, sludge and breaks down the fibers that bite into and the chemical irritants. So, maybe there's something to hobo cooking, and I'm looking down on them unnecessarily, but pretty damn bad. Is there any purpose to megavitamins? So far, their only purpose is extremely paltry XP gains for sizable body costs. Seems more like a trap for newbies than anything else. Most of the early foods and drugs are not very good. There are some not good options scattered around. So, yeah, some of them are... There are things that you can use that are not particularly useful. That's, I don't think, a particular shocker, probably. How do Autodocs work exactly? Are they almost drones, since they can apparently do all the medical work for themselves? They are akin to drones. Yes, they don't have the same level of programming that you'd see in a Midgard drone. But, I mean, it's a very... The line there is very fuzzy. You know, you have... Autodoc is sort of like halfway between a PDA and a drone. Because it obviously has, its own moving parts and its programming, which is quite complex, but doesn't have the full range of analysis capacity that the Midgard drones do. And they're quite special in that way. Even a lot of Omnitech drones wouldn't be particularly more complicated than a Autodoc. How old do our characters look? I know that we can't pass for Metroplex U students. I'd leave that sort of up to you guys, in the sense that you can picture yourself however you want. The avatars are fairly indicative, usually like, not like middle-aged exactly, but like 30s, maybe 40, maybe late 20s, in that sort of range. But yeah, obviously, old to be students, and also, like, unless you're trying very specifically, most of the time you just don't dress like students, which, I mean, there are times that I might need to code that in, like, you're dressed like a student or not, and there obviously are points where, like, the punks will think that you're one of them, or so forth. So, it's largely, largely an image thing is more what they're talking about there, that you don't seem to be a student, because depending on the situation, you can actually pass, but I think that it gets sort of overplayed at times, the effect that, disguising yourself can have on those around you, but I think it is a very powerful and very real effect in that people really sort of see what they expect to see, and if you're dressed as one of them and not obviously an outsider otherwise, you usually do fine. You could probably pass for a wide range of ages. But I don't think that that's necessarily specific to your characters. It's just a human thing, right? Why doesn't the MBR lab have turrets? I'd imagine the high security in that place would allow for it. Some kind of Hans drones go nuts towards slags and fast people, and turrets don't. So I save the turrets for places that need them. Let's see. The... For the most part, Midgard tries to not put turrets on buildings the public might see. I mean, like, the Slag's Gates, obviously, they feel they have a pretty good reason for. And other areas that there are, you know, obviously, like, high security areas they don't have any problems with. But MBR is a little more public facility than some of the others. How do you get an assault rifle's frame out of a salvage shotgun? I understand how a sniper rifle's remain can be used as the basis for assault rifle, but a shotgun? I don't, I guess, have any huge problem with that. If, I guess, if I really needed to, I could make a shotgun frame instead. But, I mean, a lot of the shotguns we're talking about have some pretty complex internal dealings. We're not talking about the kind of shotguns that one would find where I grew up in Wisconsin for hunting deer. We're talking about kind of shotgun more used for hunting people. And especially when you're talking about, like, the street sweeper. I think I call it the street sweeper. The street sweeper, or the gun that I totally based on the street sweeper, is an example of that, where really, at the end of the day, it's an assault rifle that pretends to be a shotgun. I once spent a full week trying for a scavenging avatar. Anything of the sort, or should I look elsewhere? Scavenging. I would not be totally shocked if there was, but I do not immediately remember putting one in. If that's vague enough for you. Are the flickering guards drops determined by anything or truly random? I got a huge string of very same two result drops over and over for 8 fights. Less than 4% chance happens if it's truly random. I mean, it's another one where I'm not going to check right now. But it wouldn't entirely surprise me if I had some way that it's determined, but if you do something over and over again, the idea that that's less than a 4% chance stops being relevant. I mean, you will get giant strings like that. It's sort of like, you know, if you're rolling a D6 a bunch, you will get 6-8 times in a row. Nature of the beast. I noticed that some people, Jess, Chad and Glockhands, Andrea, we can't meet well with Yurik. Is this just avoiding people who are obviously high, stop being able to notice them among all the serpents and funky colors are drunk, or is there some other explanation? Believe all three of those are just, that you have other things on your mind, so to speak. What do you think is the hardest to defeat opponent you have coded yet? The Twined Dragons are pretty bad. There's a couple of enemies that I've coded that I don't think anyone's actually fought yet. One of whom wouldn't surprise me if they were pretty vicious. Yeah, that's not something I actually think about very often. Have you ever coded an opponent who you intended to be difficult but ended up getting steamrolled? Thoughts on that? I usually don't put a lot of effort into making opponents difficult or not, so much as making them appropriate. For me, the fights are more about telling a story than you know, necessarily matching up the exact appropriate difficulty. So, I mean, that does result in some cases where things do get totally just steamrolled, but it doesn't particularly bother me. It's usually, honestly, more of a problem when I put something in and then find out that it's, you know, completely unbeatable. That's definitely known to happen. Having checked the list of opponent, I noticed all human opponents only use techniques that are available to us in some form or another, with three exceptions. Some Advance, used by Third Eye Sorcerer and the Subway Dweller, Blurry Quickshot, used by Third Eye Hunter, and Tongue Throttle, courtesy of the Etheric Bomb. Are these techs available to us somehow, either now or in future content, or they break the trend of human opponents use player-available techs? I would not be surprised to run into the second and third as part of some content at some point. And the first and third are a little what people can do when they're etheric depends on them to some degree. Well, to a large degree, really. Some might say entirely. So you may or may not see those. But yeah, as a rule, I try to use player-usable techniques for those. Or, you know, include that technique somehow learnable as the opponent. A couple questions from Alan. By a couple, I mean a whole gobbit. How are things? Hope you're having a great holiday. How is the job search plans for the future going? I think I covered that last part, but things are going, I mean, scary but moving. Had a really good holiday, continuing in a holiday-ish fashion, so we'll see how that goes. And, yeah, I did have a lot of fun in San Diego and Oakland. The Fae are described as the eldest, but it seems like the Twisted Hounds might have been around before them. Are the Fae just the eldest of the site creations? What are the origins of the Twisted Hounds? Yeah, that one you're going to have to figure out on your own. I'm not going to outlay that one immediately. Care to hint at how many different places drinking orange juice matters? I think we've found four so far, maybe. That sounds about right. I mean, there are, well, I think probably five or six sounds right. Plus one, six or seven. But there's one place that drinking orange juice matters that you haven't even found for it to matter yet, if that makes sense. Like there's a interaction and some content that you haven't discovered yet. Could we bind flying eyes? Suppose that's not entirely unreasonable. I'm not sure offhand why that's not in there now. I'd have to double check some facts about the helodrones to say that for sure. Any hints on what to do with all the painted items in the museum? Are they currently functional in game, or are we still waiting on more content? The mysterious second floor of the art museum, for example. Will we get the second floor anytime soon? They are currently functional. You do not have all of them. As far as the second floor, I know what's there. I mean, when they finish that, there's going to be, that's where they're going to store the sculpture and other 3D arts. But that's not something that they're necessarily in a big rush to get done. How would you feel about letting Gang Warfare players choose a short taunt or message to display when someone else attacks them? You'll never take this area from the Hounds. We'll offer some cool roleplay. My inclination is not to. I just don't really It's just really sort of the sort of thing that begs for drama, and drama is fine. Like, drama is great, but if I have to deal with it, I'm not interested, and so I don't like putting in features that are there for drama. Oh, and a couple of Halloween questions I had saved from a while back. How close were we to digging to the bottom of the pit? Every year, the Herald seems just slightly out of reach. Well, I mean, it's sort of, it wouldn't be fun if I just let you in. But yeah, it's just, let me see, I might actually still have the number on hand. You were around 80-90%, something like that, as I recall. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, there was still a bit there. In the order of 90%, though, plus or minus. Yeah, literally just ran out of time. Did not quite get there. There were sort of two more tiers, one that you were almost at, and then one past that at the bottom. And then stuff down there that was not digging related. The Awakened student seems to be the first permanent whose chains aren't just picked randomly and evenly. Is this a newly coded feature, or should have been more careful with spading chains in the past? That is a feature which was not in the game originally, but has actually been for quite a while. Was this what holograms were always intended for? Could we have unlocked them a year ago if things had played out slightly differently? Will there be more sources for holograms from non-event sources? Okay, good. You actually repeat the sources there. I thought that I was stuttering. This is, what the holograms were intended for. Could have unlocked them, yes, if things had played out differently. And more sources for non-event stuff. It's entirely possible. I don't have any plans for that yet, though. Burrowing Horror seems to be the very first technique that we can no longer attain. Will we see Mind Drones again in Old Town or some other source for them? I think I pretty heavily foreshadowed what's going to happen with the drones there. I just wanted to throw out a taste. Thanks, Kanak. You're welcome. Was the Snow Adventures part of last year's Undiscovered Christmas content? Yes, indeed. Is there any more content with the Mysterious Ash? So far we have messages for Blood of the Ancients, Blood of the Ancients plus Ardent Investigator, and Blood of the Ancients plus Lotus Map. Mysterious Ash. Yeah, pretty sure there's still some more stuff in there. Some of it neat. Oh, yeah. Wow, I did not remember coding most of that. But yes, there's still some more stuff there. Are we missing something big in the Fractured Reflections Cauldron? I could not tell you what you're looking at there. You did ask me a question, and I did add something new, so it didn't just fail out in certain cases, but there are a bunch of different results that you can get, some of which I think are pretty cool. But obviously it's up to you whether they're cool or not. But I would have to go over all of your spading results, and it's pretty complicated. Some questions from Magnifico. Now it's time for the traditional end-of-year Unearthly Item Roundup. Woo! My overall sense that we did pretty well with the spading this year, so here's your chance to utterly shatter our complacency by telling us just how much is missed. First up is the Nostalgic Toy Catalog, with an interesting new mechanic of bonus powers technique based on attribute rather than type. Found a bunch of items, some new techniques here. Feel there isn't much left here to find. I think that's about right. I mean, if there's something else in there, I've almost forgotten it. Next is the Grappler Gauntlets. A while ago, you mentioned sneaky balancing with this item, which I don't think we ever managed to discover. Any hints where to look? I mean, the nature of its bonus allows it to grow as you continue on, which is most of what I was talking about there. So I just keep an eye on that. There was a ton of neat content that we dug up with the scuffed mining helmet. How much did we miss? I think there are still a couple of items that are missing there. Maybe a technique. End of year is not necessarily the best time for this, because I've been, you know, focused on Halloween and then on Christmas, so I haven't been following the spading as closely as I would like. But as our last time I looked, there were a couple of items outstanding. The Goblet of Bones seems like it's mostly a utility item, very powerful under the right circumstances. My sense is that the Goblet is well above half full spading wise. Well played, I approve. That's probably true. I mean, the actual mechanics of it, I'm not sure how much you figured out, but there's certainly, it's mostly just coolness. The spading of the crystal spine seemed to go remarkably smoothly. We found a second tier form and figured out how to unlock it reliably without a lot of fuss. Also, we found a bunch of techniques. Did we really just go to town on this one, or did we miss something big? No, I think you mostly just went to town on that one. That went through as a well-oiled machine. There was a lot of layering there, but it really just sort of got cut through. At one coin, Toad statue seems most like a utility item. I don't know that we've got a complete understanding of the exact mechanics of it, but did we find all of the content? Yeah, the mechanics are really where you would be looking for that. Finally, the Holosuit Rifle. It's definitely a dramatic power booster and content, which might explain the 2-coin cost, but compared to a lot of other 2-coin items, it seems a little light on content. Is there more to it? If so, hints on where to look. Well, the holographic gunman uses what appears to be the holosighting technique. It does damage after the first use of each fight. It doesn't seem to work that way when players use it. Is this a bug, or can we somehow use to make it work like it does for us, like it does for him? Sorry if I just coughed in your ear there. Thought I had you muted. No, I'm not entirely sure. Let's see with this hollow sighting, though. Seems like it should work that way. Go ahead and use that again. Send in a bug report for me, and I will run that through and make sure that's working correctly. Okay. I'm curious about why in the third eye try to stir up the protest in the Quant. The bartender at the happy hour doesn't want them to, and I can't see any obvious motive for them to do it. I tried following the protester punk to see if I could get some more info, but if there are hidden options, I can't find them. Is there some way currently in-game to find out more about what the third eye rupture, or will we have to wait for the plot to thicken with the future content? I don't think there's a ton there now. We all completely whiffed on figuring out the cryptic hints from the tattooed man on Halloween. Did we just miss the boat until next year? Can we follow up on what he said in the Everyday Hall of Paintings? There is a lot going on there. Part of it is... Yeah. You can get about halfway through what he's talking about in the Everyday Hall of Paintings, and everything else, would have to wait to run into him again. Did a bunch of us get 95% of the way towards getting art appreciation when the museum first opened and then get distracted by shiny objects, or did the skill go live more recently? No, I honestly thought that someone had probably found it, like, days or weeks before anyone did. No, it's been in for a while. What's with the gap? Two skills before art appreciation. More museum-related skills. Andrea stuff. Not currently available. Old town skills. I think there are two in there that are related to a very side quest that I'm going to add at some point related to the ghost ship. Sort of a sub-side quest. But that's not on a front burner at this point. And I need to request a ridiculous amount of art for it, so we'll see how that goes. One last New Year's question. According to the description of the Holocaust Code, the city that will become Metroplex is due to burn this year. Care to give her your loyal readers a fair warning? Are you going to keep it to yourself and make a fortune and start selling the stock and fire insurers? Wow, actually, I hadn't considered the short selling. Yeah, I'll definitely go for that. I'm a fan. Couple questions from Barton26. Will we ever see techniques that serve to heal us in combat? Very unlikely. We already have a fortification for PvP that heals us at the start of combat. Right. Yeah. Anything in combat that you have control over that bleeds over outside of combat has to be, I'm not going to say has to be exactly, but if there were just a technique that healed you just directly, that would be a fucking disaster. And it would create a very unfun combat system. There are ways that it can be made to work, and I will play around with some of them, but I would not hold out hope for anything simple going on there, because that's seriously bad mojo. Is our character immortal? Immortal Heart's description seems to suggest we may be near immortal, or at least extremely difficult to completely destroy. Could our characters be killed homunculus style, a la Full Metal Alchemist? I'm not sure if I've seen or read enough of that to see any of the homunculi actually being destroyed. I mean, I know what they're made out of, which is badass. I actually like it, I just haven't collected the full works, so to speak. I can't answer that question directly, but the question of how you could be completely destroyed ties into a lot of very interesting other questions, like, at the very least, why you are the way you are, things like that. Why can't we slather reactive gel all over ourselves? honestly, because I never coded it to do that, I probably could just code reactive gel to like slather it all over yourself. And give you some reactive defense. I should probably also recode reactive defense at some point. I've gone around and around with that a couple of times, and it just never quite seems to work exactly the way that I want it to. And it can now work a lot more like the way that it is sort of said to work in the fiction, which would be cool. Like, actually have it knock down further attacks, but we'll see. Two questions about the new Andorak quest. What exactly is the tissue sample Andorak took from us? The resulting item suggests it was purely blood, but just how much blood do you have to take for a character to become woozy? We can take bullets to the head with no problem, but the sample seems to have crippled us, at least for a while. I mean, that's a pretty light crippling. I mean, that's not like minus 100% reflexes or anything, which is what crippling would look like. A lot of blood, various bits of other tissue, not anything from vital organs, because that's not how you normally do that. She may eventually figure out that she can just, like, tear out your heart and take it to the lab, though. Can we create an evil clone of ourselves using the new stuff from the Andorra quest? Could this be a story explanation for leaving PvP clones? No, although that would be hilarious. Especially if you grow a little goatee. New Year's podcast questions. A couple from Arcane. The amount of spinning I've done in the Charnel House is astronomical. Using almost every stolen artistry item, degenerative mist, cold syringes, a plethora of fiery lake diving, fishing attempts attempting to gather blood from the stone statue of flaming skull using jagged wounds, 2+ months of effort, and I'm struggling to list brevity here. So my question is, the hidden content in Charnel House, should I... V2. Okay, so what are you saying there? Charnel House V2. Should I relook at one of those things I've tried, or what dark corner could the goodies possibly be hiding? Let's see, at least... I'm blanking on something. I seem to remember saying before that there were two major things. The major thing now is, or rather, the one that I'm remembering is in a particularly deep, dark corner. Such that I have been leery to give hints, in that any hint would send people off on a wild goose chase. To the ends of the earth, which admittedly you seem to have already done. I'm not sure to what degree I can provide you with a hint that would lead you there. There is something that will make sense in retrospect, but not necessarily in foresight. So, let's see. Epimetheus, not Prometheus, or maybe I got them backwards. The Frozen Heart. I've tried using Frostbath, Fire, Melee, and Etheric techniques. I've tried using Blitzpopper and Strange Watch for the heart-related effects, uncovered nothing. Is there really nothing to the more to the Frozen Heart? It's just really sneaky. I don't immediately recall adding anything particularly crazy to that, to be honest. It is possible, though. I mean, it's been better than a year. Anything more to the raw heart to be found? I tried eating it right after dying from degenerate mists with wide open, and even with dark bloom effects, seeing how the etheric seed skill references a lot about primal memories and such. My efforts have turned up nothing. Let's see, raw heart. That was not me laughing at that one. That was a totally different thing. Raw hearts are delicious. I almost want to ask the heart of the Earth Serpent to continue this heart questions combo, alas. Instead, I'll ask at what point in the game we have the operation to fight atop a train. Actually, that probably would not fall under vehicular combat, but I would expect vehicular combat after downtown, which is to say, after downtown, just after Old Town. Train. I would imagine the first time that would come up is with an expansion of the Ghost Train. Which is probably slated for some additional spookiness at some point. So mean now, if it's fading hoop jump, it doesn't seem to reduce the damage evaded by evasion techniques. It doesn't seem to reduce the enemy's actual defense, such as fire defense and lace servants. So my question is, will the specialist of hoop jump be something obvious, or will it be something subtle, where I have to pay careful attention to the numbers I'm getting? It depends a lot on the situation. It may explain itself. Well, it wouldn't necessarily jump out and bite you just reading the text, I guess is the... will the hoop jump specialist be something that can always be taken advantage of, or will there be cases where it simply can't be used against certain enemies, like for enemies not using either ranged or melee attacks, negates the specialness? You are finding those while blocking. So if you're not blocking the attack, I would not expect that to trigger. Elmo. I've only recently resumed fishing, so I don't have a lot of questions for you this time around. Both Mercy Killer and Undead Scourge interact in some way in Silver Bullets and Conservative Fire. Mercy Killer also has parry and needed interaction with Silver Shield, also counting as a silver weapon, and as a result improving shield block. Is there something more we are missing with Undead Scourge? I don't think so. Mercy Killer is just the one that has a sort of broader implication. So it definitely has more interactions. You might be missing some of each, though. Seeing how Silver Flow grants bonus XP when a silver weapon is equipped, are there neat little things kicking around on obvious presence, or are there red-lensed goggles effects? Would you be willing to ramble cryptically about the remaining mystery of the red-lensed goggles? The remaining mystery is a combination of two components, or rather... requires a combination of two components. I don't mean that in a crafting sense, but in two factors. And it does provide some feedback for both of those factors, but that feedback is very subtle. To the extent that you might just blunder into it. Before finding it. But there are hints along the way. a breadcrumb trail where the breadcrumbs are very, very small. So most of my hologram questions are asked already, but I would like to know why you decided to make creating more holograms so resource-intensive. Sort of a funny question to me. The fact that you could create more was sort of a bonus. They are essentially still limited content. So the method of creating more had to be something in line with that. I mean, something that made them still difficult to acquire even afterwards. Did we have an impact on Janet's blowing up the pit? It seemed like most people were fighting her for her drops. I was surprised we blew up the pace so fast. I was hoping to stop her completely. There were a number of different factors there. People helping her and hurting her played into a larger equation, I guess is the appropriate way to say that. But you were on a very strict timetable at that point. Time ran out, is what it amounts to. Is there a use for her explosives thrown other than returning it to her, which is now impossible? Other than it being salvageable, which I believe it is, and probably usable in a gang stash, and just being an interesting memento. Not offhand, no. You'd have to have the appropriate detonator for that. So I completed that in under an hour. I feel like a marathon vagger. It's pretty intense. Okay. Well, so that's the answer to a lot of questions and non-answer to probably more questions and the sort of down low on my life and how that will affect the game going forward. So, a lot going on there. Thanks for listening, and thanks for playing. Thank you all so much for donating, asking your questions, and putting up with me through 2012, and sharing the beginning of 2013 with me. Hopefully it'll be a much better year going forward than the one that we just left. Thanks. Have a great day and have a happy new year.